In the summer of 1950, 7-year-old Billy spent hours up in a crabapple tree in his backyard in Sparlingville, Michigan. He had lots to think over, recalling how anxiously he waited for Santa that Christmas Eve, only to peek out from his curtain, from his room, and see Mom and Dad putting the presents around the tree. This one's for Billy, this one's for Robbie, this one's for Donnie. Gary, who's with me today, was there, but is in his mommy's tummy. We had just, We now discovered about Santa. Christmas morning, just played along with that the next morning. I just walked along with it. Earlier that summer, in VBS, Billy had been once again challenged with the good news about Jesus. And VBS had saw many stories that his mom, his grandmother, and Pastor Chase had told him about. Now, back in the apple tree, Billy was thinking about the story of Santa. When my friends are old and mature like I am, 7, I can tell them the truth about Santa. They can handle it. But when Billy began to wonder about the good news of Jesus, he asked himself, will I one day be told it's the same way about Jesus, just like Santa? And I could not handle that. Bowed my head and talked, and I really wasn't understanding exactly who I was talking to, but it was to God, and saying, I want to know the truth about Jesus. If it's not true, I'm not going to tell anybody. If it is true, you can use me to tell anybody you want, any place in the world. I had no idea who I was negotiating with. By the time I was 11, we had moved to another town, new school, and began attending Bible club every Wednesday afternoon after class. Week after week, listening to those Bible stories. Week after week, hearing about Jesus, hearing about from Moses to Revelation. I came to that realization, it really is true. Jesus is true. Jesus Christ died for me, paid the price for my sins, and trusted him at that moment. During the next 4 years, via Bible club, Sunday school, more VBS, rich preaching and teaching from Pastor Ken Ohlstrom, and missionaries from around the world, and being challenged about the call to missions impacting ways that I didn't understand until one Sunday morning, Pastor Ohlstrom asked us to open our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 6. Today, when I hear that word, Isaiah 6, it brings back all kinds of memories. For that morning, I heard the call. I can receive vividly, who will go for me? I knew at that moment that the Lord was talking to me. And at that moment, yielded my life and knew that God wanted me in full-time foreign missions someday. Dorothy and I discovered the year before we were married that it was Brazil. For Paul, it was from Antioch and beyond. For all of us here today, it's Centralia, Washington, and beyond. Where is God leading us? To see how God shared this process with Timothy, let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1. We'll begin reading with verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, day and night, as I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan the flame of the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power, of love, and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony that about our God, our Lord, nor of his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he has given to us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, which now has been manifest through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I, Paul, am not ashamed, for I know whom I believed, and I'm convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been just entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. You are aware that all who are in Asia turned away from me, among whom are Philegus and Hermogenes. May the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesimus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he arrived in Rome, he searched for me earnestly and found me. May the Lord grant him to find mercy from the Lord on that day, and you will know all the services he rendered at Ephesus. You then, my child, be strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. For Paul, for Billy, who by this time really doesn't like to be called Billy, but Bill, He took his first step in accepting Jesus Christ as Savior. Each step, each of us the same. Knowing and accepting Jesus as Savior, if you have not taken that step, today's the day. It's a step that we all need to take, trusting in Jesus Christ, our personal Savior. If you have any questions about that, we'll be more than willing and ready to talk to you about that after the service this morning. Paul's acceptance and belief in Jesus as Christ the Messiah. Do you notice how he put it? You know, Savior, Christ, Jesus. Paul knew a whole lot about the Christ, the Messiah. He had memorized a good portion of the Old Testament. He knew it. So when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, he understood all of a sudden, wow, this is the Messiah, Jesus. He accepted that position, writing to Timothy and telling him about how he has to step up and assume the responsibility as a trustee, entrusted with the gospel. It's twofold. It's knowing it and sharing it. And as you'll see here, especially to Timothy, it's mentoring others in ministry, in serving the Lord. The trust given to Paul. But I, Paul, am not ashamed, but I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. He goes on, he says, the reasons for the suffering and the cause given to him. Interesting, we know about Paul's suffering. We know about how he was imprisoned unjustly, how he was whipped, how he suffered in that way. But I believe that there's an area of suffering that we don't always talk about, and he really talked about it earlier when he talked about those who rejected him in Asia, left him behind. He spent time with them. He shared with them the gospel. Good. I believe that those were people who knew and trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Paul probably thought they did too. But they turned their backs on Paul. That was hard, because Paul stood firm on the Word of God and serving him, wanting to trust the Lord. For our appeal does not spring from error of impurity or any attempt to deceive, but we have been approved of God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not to please man, but to please God who tests the hearts. Paul suffered in that way. During our second term in Brazil, we had moved into church planting in the city of Campos Sales. And not far from Campos Sales was a small community of São Domingos, 1,200 people, prided themselves in not having any Protestants whatsoever. A man from that town, his wife, went to the southern part of the neighboring state of Bahia, spent time working there, passed difficult times, and met somebody who shared with them the gospel. It was that turning point for them. They had a burden for their town of 1,200 people who prided themselves in having no Protestants whatsoever. So they went back and shared the gospel there. There, five people accepted Jesus Christ because of their testimony. Among them was one little lady, probably about this tall. I won't say how wide she is, but she upset the other ladies in the congregation when she would come up and hug me, because almost turned, knocked me over, even in those days, you know. But Dona Conta was a firm believer, 85 years of age. And she knew what suffering was. Poverty, yes, but family, grandchildren, children. Grandma, when you die, we're just going to throw your body in the woods. You can do with me as you want. I'm going to be with my Jesus. She stood firm. She knew what suffering was, but she knew who she believed in. She was not ashamed. Why no shame? But I, Paul, am not ashamed. For why? For I know whom I have believed. He knew the person. He had met Jesus. He had spent time with Jesus apart. Unusual. Post-resurrection. Taught by the Savior. He knew him. He believed him. And next step thing was, and I am convinced that he is able to guard, to hold, to secure until that day what has been entrusted for me. The trust that God had reserved for Paul in glory. There's that trust for all those who trust in Jesus Christ as Savior. It's there. It's waiting. It's ready for each that know Jesus Christ. Yes, Paul knew about Jesus Christ. He learned more from the road to Damascus. Romans 1:6, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, to the Greek. For it is the righteousness of God is for for in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, that is written, the righteous shall live by faith." The privilege to share the gospel, our crown and joy, as he mentions in 1 Thessalonians 2:19, "For what is our hope or joy or crown or boasting before the Lord Jesus at his coming? It is it not you," speaking about the Thessalonians, "for you are our glory and joy." He had a trust, and he was passing it on. Passing it on and preaching the gospel, proclaiming the gospel. The trust passed on to Timothy as well in that very special way. His disciple, the one he was mentoring. "Follow the pattern of sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Jesus Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. Guard the good deposit entrusted to you." Sharing with Timothy at that moment how he needed to step up and trust the Lord, sometimes shying back, but knowing that God had equipped him for the gospel, had equipped him to serve the Lord. And he says, "Preach the word, know the word, follow the word, obey and practice the word of God." It's not just reading it. I enjoy doing my annual Bible, reading through the Bible. That's good. But get to know it. Understand it. See how it applies to you. Ask the Lord, how does this apply to me? Look at it from God's perspective. From the perspective of the one that God used to write that word. You know, God breathed it. But how did he get it to us? Holy men of God spoke as they were borne along by the Holy Spirit. Unique men, prepared by God to write down those words. He had prepared them to share that word to us. And God, that same God who directed them, and is the same God that directs in our lives, trusted Timothy. Timothy knew that he would be directed in the same way. Being an example or a pattern of faith and love. That pattern of faith, trusting the Lord, but doing it in a loving way. Living it and knowing it and living it in faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Out from that same city of Campos Salis, there was another. This happened shortly after we moved there. Dona Antonia came to me, one of the 11 people in that congregation. He says, "I have a cousin that lives in the city of Iowaba." "Well, where's Iowaba?" "Oh, it's 60 miles up the road here." "What road?" "Dirt road, back road." "Well, she's the only believer in this town. 5,000 people. We need to go visit her." So she kept after me, and I said, "Well, we're here. We need to work here. Then we'll go there." She kept on. And so she finally convinced me, and I answered that and loaded up the Toyota Jeep and headed off. 3 hours to go 60 miles back road. Get there and met Dona Hamida. How had she come to know the Lord as her Savior? Husband had a job in difficult times on the other side of Brazil, 2,500 miles away. And there they met Garnet Trimble, missionary with Baptist Mid Missions, sat and listened to his preaching. The whole family made a declaration of faith in Jesus Christ. And then they moved back to the city of Iowaba. There in Iowaba, the family returned to their old ways. But Dona Hamida, faithful, stood firm for the Lord, trusting the Lord. So we met her that day and had a chance to get to know her during the day and learn about a lot of new different foods in rural Ceará, Brazil. But that evening, just outside their house under the streetlight, I was able to preach the gospel. At the end of that, I gave an invitation. Now you have to understand, this is Bill, who's not a linguist, 5 years into Portuguese and living there and preaching, and two people accept the Lord. I said, wow, what a preacher. Now, it wasn't the preacher. You see, Dona Santa and her husband, they had sat under the preaching and teaching of another missionary years before. They had left that place without making a decision for Christ. This is the first time they've heard the gospel. I was there for the harvest. It had nothing to do with the preacher. God using us, okay? Trusting him, upholding him, his example. You know, we face those opportunities today. That's part of the church, that mix we have, okay? Now, we don't always want to admit it, but we're not perfect, right? And why are we put into this local church together? For one another, okay? You know, 1 John 1:9 wasn't just written to one person, it was written to all of us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, to fall before him and confess it. No, I sinned. But then there are times when we just kind of do things, the right thing the wrong way, and offending people, and nobody has the courage to step up and say, hey, probably be better if you didn't do it that way, you know. Or what about this? Did I see it right? Because we look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. It says, ye which are spiritual, if you see your brother in a fault, restore that one. Well, we have a hard time because we said, well, am I that spiritual one? Well, there are two options. As a believer, either you're carnal or you're spiritual. And I'm not pointing the parts here, okay? It's one or the other. And as you look in Galatians, you'll find just what that means. Living in the flesh or living in the Spirit. Following the Spirit of God. Serving him. It's not saying, hey, look at me. Get right, George. No, it's, hey, I'm here with you. I'm part of the team. I'm part of your family. Did I see it right? How can I help? Come alongside. That's not just for the elders. That's for each one of us. When God opens that window for us to see something, we need to step up in the right way. Go to that brother, sister in Christ. Step, because when you stumble next time, who's going to pick you up? Maybe them. Okay. Upholding by the Holy Spirit. It's that Holy Spirit who is in you and is directing you, is allowing you to see those open windows in another person's life and to handle it in the right way. Pass on the trust to faithful men. Remembering not all believers demonstrated faithfulness. mentioned this earlier, but in the last two verses of that first chapter, you are aware that all in Asia turned away from me, among whom were May the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesimus. Why put this here? Because he's talking here about the contrast, the faithful and unfaithful. Here were a group of people who were unfaithful and show that unfaithfulness. And here was another one who was faithful. And then he goes on from there and he tells us, pass on that faithfulness. Not all believers are always faithful. Those are opportunities to help and share. But to be faithful. Look for those who are faithful. How can you see? How can you understand who those faithful ones are? Well, pass it on, being empowered by the grace that is in you by Jesus Christ. You have been saved by grace. You live by grace. You need to understand what it is to get up and go on after that you make that fall. To come before the Lord and understand that when you confess something that you knew as a sin, when you went to the Lord, as in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. Do you confess everything that you've done wrong? Well, a lot of things you didn't know that you were doing wrong. Down the road, you learn, hey, I was messed up. Deal with what you know. Take it before the Lord. Confess it. That's grace. That's God's grace. Working with us in that way. Can we follow that same way? And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust, pass it on to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And he gives us those examples. Share in the same as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. And who enlisted us? Our Lord, our Savior. We need to look for those who are trusting in the one who enlisted them, are trusting the Lord, and come alongside, help and encourage, pass on that trust, encourage them, help them. VBS is one of those things. We need some helpers tomorrow. Are we going to step up? You say, I'm not equipped for that. Well, do you know Jesus Christ as Savior? Yeah? You have the time? Step up. Here's the opportunity. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It's not just doing the right thing, it's doing it the right way. Doing it the right way. So many times I've seen churches split because there's an issue there and they're dealing with sin or a difficult issue and they do it in the wrong way. Carnality comes out. The flesh comes out. They don't follow the rules of grace, mercy, love, helping, coming alongside in that way. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Yeah, there's a lot of training that goes into the Olympics. Yeah, there's a lot. Whether it's a track star or a wrestler, but they have to compete by the rules. And so we as believers in Jesus Christ, the same. What a privilege it was to work not only in church planting, but we would have on the weekends for practical work, seminary students come over and help us on the weekends, practical work. The man who was enlisted to come over, the young man, to help out in São Domingos, is that little congregation began with five, then it was seven. That first baptism was seven in a little reservoir there. First time in that little community. Dona Cota has a story for that as well. I hadn't planned this, but I'm going to share it. We'd never had communion because they hadn't been baptized. So we said, well, first and only time I ever did this, we decided to have communion on the edge of the water, post-baptism, as a church, congregation of those believers. And Dona Cota took the piece of bread. That was all right. But then this little Demitasse cup of grape juice, and she looked at it, and right out loud, she said, "Só esse tantinho, just this little bit." But that same faithful lady, she didn't have much. Dorothy shares the story of her widow's mite. The Brazilians in those communities, they don't grow grass because it's like, well, that's inviting snakes, so we don't grow grass. But they sweep off the front yard, move the dust. Eventually, the only thing that's there is rock. And so it's kind of uncomfortable some approaching some of those homes. But she would take her broom when we bought that first piece of property just outside the town limits. It was a corral. And she would sweep off a part, take her chair and sit down and pray for this preacher. Thank the Lord. But the young man that spent 3 years there of his seminary life on weekends serving there is now the president of our Bible college. Praise God. Had one little part in doing it. Coming alongside men like Adil or Junior or Wesley and seeing how God used them. Adil ended up being a Bible college president, pastor in Brazil, and then sensed the call to Portugal. Gave it all up and went off to church planting and mentoring in Portugal. There was Junio and Wesley off there. What a privilege it was. Shortly after we returned to the States to spend a month in Portugal alongside these guys, encouraging, helping, and seeing what they're doing, passing it on. Faithful men. That's called sharing in the crop. Enjoying it and seeing what God has done. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, and on reads this way. And he gave some apostles and prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to the mature manhood, to measure of stature of fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro in the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow in every way unto him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined is held together by being joined with every joint with which it is equipped. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow so it builds itself in love. We work together as a body, growing, needing, but assuming that trust. So, where are you in this trust? Have you trusted Jesus Christ, your personal Savior? Do you exercise your privilege and responsibility in the trust? Do you come alongside your brother when you see the opportunity and the need? Can you do and recognize faithful men who exercise their responsibility? Can you come alongside them? Do you know there are actually two types of deacons mentioned in the New Testament? There's the deacon office that have special and specific things, but then there's those that are called, it's called the body of Christ. We're told to serve, to deek. Okay. And each and every one of us have that responsibility to step up, remembering where the Lord has planted us, using the gifts that God has given you to serve Him in this body. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank You for the privilege of serving You. We thank You for all that You have done for us, provided for us in immeasurable ways. Lord, help us to grasp just exactly what we possess in Jesus Christ, this salvation, the opportunities, and how You want to use us to serve You and to share this wonderful message. In Jesus' name, amen.